This is the Weekly Connect podcast from RNIB.
Now, Red Sail is a man who clearly likes hats. I say that because he wears so many. He's an author. He hosts RNIB Connect Radio's Read On Air program each week. And if that's not enough, he's a rock climber. Well, we were keen to find out more about that last one. So Red decided to take our reporter Leanne Coyle along to his local climbing centre in London to show her the ropes. Ropes. Get it?
Red, hi, I'm Leanne.
Hi Leanne, how are you?
Pleased to meet you. Finally.
Good to meet you.
So here, you're going to take me climbing then?
Yep, off to the castle.
Great, so it's just a few minutes walk from here, isn't it?
It is, very close.
Okay, great, let's get going. So Red, just as we're making our way to the climbing centre on this really horrible rainy afternoon in London, tell me a bit about your level of sight. How did you lose your sight?
Well, I've got retinitis pigmentosa, which I was diagnosed with when I was 19. I guess I've probably lost about 97% of my sight. I can still distinguish between light and dark, but I can't see any detail. It's all very hazy, and it's a bit like looking through a keyhole into a smoke-filled room. I get glimpses of parts of things, but they have to stay still for quite a long time for me to be able to work out what they are. So looking at rock faces is kind of ideal because they don't move very much.
Rock faces for climbing, of course.
Yes, so it's gone gradually over the last nearly 30 years, so I've had time to get used to it. It's just frustrating, really. I think anybody who has experienced gradual sight loss would know exactly what I'm talking about. You lose the ability to do things that you used to be able to do. What I like about climbing is that actually it's not just a visual activity. There's a lot of feel and balance, and there is the potential to improve, which kind of I feel helps in the battle against the frustration of losing my sight.
Were you a climber before you started to lose your sight at the age of 19?
Well, I started rock climbing when I was about 13 at school. You know, I was getting quite good by the age of 18, 19. But when I got my diagnosis, I thought, well, if I can't trust my sight, how can I expect other people to trust me? So I hung up my harness and sulked for about 20 years. And it was only because my daughter wanted to have her 9th birthday party at a local climbing wall, 2009, that, you know, I got to the wall, and the other parents were sort of ogling these, you know, buff-bodied climbing instructors, and I was off groping the bumps and curves on the climbing wall, thinking, oh, I've missed this. And I spoke to the climbing instructor, and he went, well, I can't see that being blind's going to make any difference. So he took it as a challenge to improve his teaching abilities, and I took it as a challenge to try and lose all those pounds that I put on in the 20 intervening years. I'm quite an advocate that anybody who's got a climbing wall near them should just give it a go.
Excellent. Well, that's what we're going to do today, and we've just arrived at the Castle Climbing Centre in North London. Let's get in and get harnessed up and get on a wall.
Thank you.
Here we are.
The sound of a busy climbing wall. Right, so we need a harness around our waist, which we loop the rope through. We'll also need a belay plate and a carabiner to put the rope through. Climbing shoes are always a good idea, although you can climb in trainers as a beginner.
Okay, so we're harnessed up. We've got our carabiners, we've got our water. Let's get to the wall.
Fantastic.
Red, said looks about 20 feet. Is that about the normal size? I mean, I can see there are other much taller walls around.
Yeah, 20 feet's a good one to start off on, assuming that it's got a relatively straightforward route on it. Does it say what the grade of the route is anyway?
It does. So at the bottom, we've got black is 4, green is 4 plus, yellow and purple is 5, and blue is 6A.
So a 4A would be a nice, easy starting route, which wouldn't involve anything too gymnastic and which will have good positive holds to hold on to. So a 6A is, you know, it's going to be a tricky climb. I enjoy climbing 6As and 6Bs, but can't climb a huge amount more difficult than that. So I think if we start on a 4 just to warm up on.
Excellent, let's do it then.
Okay.
Fred, you were saying earlier that when you climb up a wall, someone has to be at the bottom belaying you.
Yes.
Basically, their weight is countering yours, so if you fall off the wall, their weight will keep you safe.
They will keep you on a relatively taut rope, so that if the climber falls, the inertia of the rope running through the belay plate in a sort of U shape, and the belayer's hand, in my case the right hand, will pull down on the rope and will arrest his fall, will stop him falling to the ground.
Just in the interest of safety, we do have another experienced climber here who is going to belay you. Jeremy, you're all harnessed up and ready to go. We're just waiting on Fred securing his harness. So what have you got here?
There's a carabiner here that clips onto your harness, and then we've got a belay. So the rope goes through that, and when I pull down with my hands the loose end of the rope, that locks the rope, so no one can fall, no one can move at all.
So, Red, you want to do the 5 as a warm-up. Now, I'm reading the chart and it says that's the yellow and purple swirls. I can quite clearly see the holds dotted up the wall here, but how are you going to find them?
Well, this is where you and or Jeremy come in very useful. One of you is going to be my spotter. The system that I use is a clock face system. So if you imagine my tummy button is the centre of the clock, when I reach up with my right arm, I'm reaching up for anything between 12 o'clock and maybe 3 or 4 o'clock. You can direct me that way. Likewise with the feet, they obviously are the sort of 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 o'clock. Takes a bit of getting used to, but we should get there.
I might rely on Jeremy to help me out with this one, him being an experienced climber.
That one. That's it.
Okay, up you go.
Right, that one? Right hand down, that's it.
That
left
one.
Left hand, that's about 10 o'clock. So further to the left, so and down. That's your next one. And left foot straight up at 11 o'clock.
Left foot?
Yeah. That's it. Yep.
Okay, so you're just letting Red down the wall now, Jeremy, yeah?
Yeah, slowly lowering him down.
It's almost like he's abseiling back down, isn't he?
That's right. You just need to shuffle your hands down the ropes. You've always got control of the rope. There you go.
Great.
Well, good climb.
Excellent. Nice. How was that for you, Red?
That was very good fun.
You mentioned on the way here that when you found out about your diagnosis of retinitis pigmentosa, you thought that was it for you. And in fact, you did give up climbing for
20 years.
20 years. So coming back into climbing, how did you have to amend your climbing style?
I think the difficult thing is that actually I do a lot more hanging around in between the moves than a sighted person, because I'm waiting for instructions and I'm having to, you know, process those instructions, work out what's there, grope around for the hold, to be honest. You'll have seen us moving my hand around in spirals looking for the right hold. All that's pretty hard on especially the arms, if you're hanging off one arm trying to find the next hold. So I do a lot of strengthening exercises, a lot of arm work, and forearm work, that's where, and finger work as well, just to make sure that my arms are strong enough. I always say I probably have to be about 115% as fit as anyone else, just because I spend, you know, at least 15% more time hanging off the wall than anybody else. It's very, very good for my balance. My balance is one of those things that I have progressively lost as my sight has gone. But
something
actually,
a lot of people who lose their sight do struggle with it, is balance, and it helps for you.
That's right. I mean, climbing makes me concentrate on putting my weight evenly through my feet, on standing properly. I do a bit of yoga as well, which also helps with my balance. And actually, yoga and climbing are very similar in that way. So actually, I've found climbing very beneficial to my general mobility.
No, after 20 years of not climbing, you got back into it, and you achieved your a lifelong ambition of climbing the Old Man of Hoy.
Yes,
in the Orkneys.
That happened in 2013. I'd fallen in love with the idea of climbing the Old Man of Hoy when I saw a documentary about Chris Bonington's ascent of it. He was the first person to climb it. And I thought, wow, that's a kind of a cathedral of rock, and it's in the UK, and I want to go and climb that.
Give us an idea of the scale of this wall. I mean, what is it like?
It is 450 feet tall. It's, for those who have sight, it's kind of the shape and size of the London Gherkin building. It's it is an enormous pillar of rock. It's the size of a sort of 40-story, a 24-story block of flats. And the Old Man has a huge bulging belly in the middle that you have to climb out of a crack and over this bulging belly, and then you climb on. And it's a tough climb. It's this pillar of rock rising out of the Atlantic off the Orkney island of Hoy.
So you'd have to deal with wind as well, I'm sure.
We were very lucky. We got quite a calm day. But there's wind. There's all sorts of seabirds that like to nest on it. And things called fulmars, which are seabirds that have a very nasty habit of regurgitating their fish supper all over your head when you get too close to them. They can projectile vomit up to a metre and a half.
Oh, God.
You might not want to put that in the show.
If you didn't have enough to contend with.
And it took me 5 hours to climb. It was quite a mission.
Well done. Now, what we're standing in front of is not quite the Old Man of Hoy, but I'm going to give it a go anyway.
Fantastic.
I'm harnessed up, ready to climb.
Taking the rope, so you're on belay.
Excellent. So if I fall, you will catch me.
Yes, absolutely. but you're not going to fall, because it's a nice straightforward route. First, identify two good footholds.
Okay, right.
And two comfortable handholds. So handholds where you feel comfortable, you're not stretching too far, you're actually in balance.
Okay.
And then you're moving one limb at a time.
Yeah.
So you should always have 3 points of contact. So
always decide what, have 3 points of contact.
Yeah, decide what you're going to move first.
Mm-hmm.
See your next hold. Then I tend to move a leg up every time I've moved an arm.
Okay.
If I can.
Right. Excellent. Oh wow, I feel quite high up here.
Yeah, fantastic. Take a breath and then work out where you're going to move your hand or foot next. Okay, Leanne, just out to the left and move on up. Nice smooth movement, well done. Nearly at the top. Wow. Well, well done. That was a fantastic climb. Oh, are you hooked?
That was really... I have to say, I was pretty scared. Even though you said this isn't a very tall wall, but I was very scared at the top. But the feeling of being up there is amazing. And yeah, I think I'm definitely going to hang back in the climbing centre and try out a few more walls.
Well, fantastic. When you want to go and climb the Old Man of Hoy, you know where I am.
Yeah, next step, the Old Man of Hoy. Thanks so
fantastic.
Much, Fred.
Thank you.
Thanks for downloading the Weekly Connect podcast from RNIB. Find more podcasts from RNIB on Audioboom, iTunes, and the Apple Podcast app.